Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello, this is Joe Milligan, and this is this week's Coach K and Joe Show, and I'm joined always by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, so much to talk about every week. There's just, the list just grows and grows, and this week, what a list of things that we're going to be covering in it.
Yeah, Joe, we've got a lot to talk about, and I tell our listeners, and I'll tell you again this week, get out there, get a hold of your friends. Get them to the CoachKandJoeShow.com on Blog Talk Radio, and let's talk sports. I'm still shaking my head. It's still confusion running through my head over the interview that former Yankee and now current Seattle Mariner Robinson Cano gave, talking about his switch from the Yankees to the Mariners. And as I get some of this confusion settled down, we'll talk in this first segment a little bit about that. But let me touch on some of the things we do have coming up, Joe, so our listeners know. In this first hour, we'll be talking with Butler assistant Michael Lewis. Of course, Butler is off to another great start. They dropped a couple of games against some pretty good teams down in Florida a couple weeks ago, but have rebounded since then. And they have a big game coming up, actually two games on the schedule coming up with in-state schools and rivals. We've got Purdue coming up in the Crossroads Classic for Butler, and then they'll play at Evansville on December 21st. So we're going to talk with Michael Lewis about some of that. Plus, Michael Lewis, of course, a Jasper High School, Jasper, Indiana graduate, for those outside the state of Indiana, an Indiana University all-time great assist leader for the Hoosiers. Jasper's going to celebrate their 100th anniversary of their first game in basketball this weekend, 100 years of Jasper basketball. Of course, I coached there and also played there. They're going to celebrate that this weekend, and I'm sure Michael's going to be there tonight. We'll talk a little bit about that. Of course, Michael was an Indiana All-Star and the all-time leading scorer at Jasper. And he's got at least give me a thumbs up since I was coaching him and putting him in a position to get all those points, Joe.
Well, if we just want to see just how awesome Michael Lewis was in high school, you know, go to the Coach K and Joe Facebook page. We posted a video of some of his highlights. The thing I noticed watching it, you know, everyone knows the three-point stroke, and then those at IU know great passer. But I'll tell you what, he could drive to the bucket, and he had great jumping ability and got a dunk on there of his. And, you know, what a lot of people may not realize is Michael, I think, ran the 100 for the Jasper track team until his junior year, I think. So, I mean, he also had great speed. So, yeah, he was a total package, and I look forward to talking to him.
Yeah, I think Michael could have done just about any sport that he wanted to do, and an outstanding athlete, as most of those good young high school players are. Also on the show in the first hour, we're going to be talking Indy high school hoops with our contributor Don Schultheis out of Indianapolis. Man, a lot of great teams up in the Indianapolis area, and great players. Indianapolis Tech, of course, is nationally ranked. They have a great player. We'll talk to Don about that. They're going to be coming down in the Evansville area to play at a Christmas, kind of a holiday classic at Bossy High School in Evansville, which is, I can see Bossy's gymnasium right outside my back window here at the Ken Schultheis Coach K studio here in Evansville. So if you're in southern Indiana, Indianapolis Tech, which is nationally ranked, we'll be down here, and Don will talk a little bit more about that. We'll also talk about some other high school hoops in the first hour. We'll touch on the NFL and the Colts in the first hour. Second hour, Joe will start it off with Steve Kolb and talk about some South Spencer County, or excuse me, Spencer County hoops, which is Heritage Hills and South Spencer. And then we'll talk about IU, Purdue, NFL, Major League, you name it. We're going to be talking about it on the Coach K and Joe Show this first hour and second hour. So, yeah, go ahead, Joe.
You know, you do realize you said the Evansville studio. I think that our Evansville studio was renamed to the Edward Jones Janet Schultheis Agency Studio.
Well, we'll give her a plug now and then, but she's not going to put her name on this studio. This studio is up for naming rights, but you'll have to work on that as the executive producer of the show. Of course, our show is done via the Internet, which makes it great because we have listeners from all over the country and all over, actually, nationally and internationally, because of the Internet's capabilities, and the Coach K and Joe Show is heard throughout the world. The earth covers the earth, Joe. We cover the earth, and we work out of both Evansville, Indiana, and Jasper, Indiana. So my head is settled, and I've got to bring up the Robinson Cano interview. And, Joe, I know you're a Yankee fan, so feel free to jump in at some point, but let me start this off to our listeners. Robinson Cano gives an interview to Sal Palantonio. And first of all, he's represented by Jay-Z. And Jay-Z's interests are not in the individual. I don't care what they say. And Jay-Z, you can call into the show if you want. You can absolutely call into the show. Jay-Z's interests are not in the individual. They're not in a strong baseball league. They're not for the professional player. They're for Jay-Z. And like I said, Jay-Z can call in at 773-897-6325. Robinson Cano is on this interview, and he starts out, and Sal Palantonio asks him why he chose to leave the Yankees. The first thing that comes out of his mouth is the modern-day athlete, rapper comment, you know, I was disrespected. How many times have we heard that? I mean, disrespected. The Yankees offered him 7 years and 170-something. They basically offered him $25 million a year. He got disrespected? Because after that, he went on to say, because disrespected didn't work very well, so he went on to say, well, I was looking for a longer-term contract. Playing till 37, 38 wasn't good enough. He said, what am I going to do at 37, 38? You're probably not going to be able to play anyway, or at least not play at that level. And that's what's wrong with the 10-year contracts unless they're giving them to guys that are 25 years old. Robinson Cano is not 25 years old. In fact, you baseball people out there that love the Yankees or love Robinson Cano, look up his stats. Look at his age and look at his stats. And you tell me that he's a 10-year, $24 million man. But the kicker of it all, he says to Sal Palantonio, hey, I took less money. Instead of taking 25, if it was about the money, these were his exact words. Find the clip. I'm sure you can find it all over the Internet. If it was about the money, and I'm going to go slow so people can hear it. Robinson Cano, if you're listening, if it was about the money, I would have taken the $25 million from the Yankees a year instead of the $24 million. What? 10 years, $245 million versus 7 years, $178 million, something like that. If it was about the money, I would have taken the Yankees' offer. I don't know, Joe. I'm still spinning a little bit. I mean, maybe the Yankees knew something that the rest of the baseball world didn't.
You know, being a Yankee fan, as you pointed out, you know, people like him, that this kind of stuff is so anti-Yankee. I mean, you know, being a Yankee fan, evil empire, greatest professional sports team in the history of sports, I'm just telling you that Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, Reggie Jackson, yeah, I mean, you know, that's what Yankee baseball is about. Some of these yahoos these days, and, you know, it's in every sport. You know what I mean? It really is. I mean, you know, we have a little clip coming up. We talk about the Pacers from Paul George. Mr. Class. I mean, you know, the whole Pacer team proves that you don't have to be a bunch of thug wannabes to be a good athlete. You can be a good person as well. And maybe his first mistake was taking a rapper. I guess he's a rapper. I really have never really listened to him as his manager or agent. Is he a rapper, Coach? Do you listen to him?
He's kind of a rapper, singer, businessman, clothing entrepreneur. I mean, Jay-Z is a very wealthy and smart businessman, but he's not looking out for these athletes. If he was really looking out for these athletes, I'll tell you what, would you rather retire a Seattle Mariner or a New York Yankee? Let me go a step further. Look at the long-term for big free agent contracts that the Mariners have given Sexton from Milwaukee, I think it was. I mean, guys, there is more to your legacy if you retire a New York Yankee than he's going to wilt, he's going to fog, he's going to whatever happens in Seattle, wet, turn into a prune in Seattle for the Mariners. Is he going to have a couple good years? Probably. Folks, I'm not disregarding that Robinson Cano is an upper-tier Major League Baseball player in today's game, but that's only going to be 2 or 3 years, and then they're going to eat the contract, and the Mariner fans are going to sit there and say, what was management thinking? I thought the Yankees offered him 2 years too many. I really did. I'd rather seen him give him 5 years, $30 million a year. Hey, what's wrong with getting that money up front? Jay-Z could have invested it properly if he cares about the athlete so much, and he could have turned that into $245 million. But I just don't understand. You go on national TV with this interview, and your three major points are, I was disrespected by the Yankees. Disrespected by the Yankees. It only gave me 7 years. I would have been 37 or 38. Washed up anyway, or at the end of his career, hopefully a respectable one, and $178-79 million. I was disrespected, so I went to the Mariners, who gave me 10 years, $245 million. You know, and I wanted the long-term contract. What was I going to do at 38? And then the third one, the one that blows my mind, confusion, rattling. You know, some of you might be saying, Coach K, you don't have much up there anyway. Maybe not. But seriously, I took less money. I could have taken $25 million a year instead of $24. Wow. Don't get it, Joe. Just let's talk about something that makes sense. Let's talk about the Pacers. You brought up Paul George. How about Paul George?
Class individual, great player, just does his job, doesn't have to be the center point of attention, just everything that is right in professional sports. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Pacer fan. Well, maybe I am because I love Paul George. But unbelievable class individual that just goes and does his job and doesn't have to, to make a show of himself. I've got a little clip of after the Miami game, you know, how humble he is, and I'd like to play that right now.
I mean, it was all jitters in the first half. We knew, coming into the second half, we just had to slow things down. They were really loading up to the paint, and, you know, their style of basketball is to load up and, you know, really take away action from the strong side. So we just had to invite double teams and move the ball and kick it to the weak side and, you know, get them scrambled.
You guys feel like you were better than that when you came in at halftime? What was the
I mean, we felt like we had, you know, 13 or something turnovers. You know, we weren't shooting the ball well. We didn't knock down a three. you know, but yet we were down 7. So, you know, we were positive in our locker room. You know, we just knew we had to play at a higher level.
You know, did you hear any me? He was talking about team the whole time, talking about we. Whereas when the Heat talk about we, I'm not sure if it's not just two or three of them.
Well, this Pacer team, 19-3, Frank Vogel has done a great job on the court. Larry Bird, Larry Legend, and the rest of the management group have done a great job in the front office. Paul George is the epitome of everything that's right in pro basketball right now. And folks, I'm not on the band. I've seen this coming the last few years with the Pacers. They went through the lean period because they cleaned the thing up. They got rid of what I call a lot of immature individual-type players, and they went through a low period. Let's face it, the Pacers went from being all over the map with Reggie Miller and some of those guys. Then they went through a restacking period, but the guys they got, they didn't have team. They didn't understand, you want to call it the Pacer way. They didn't know what it took, didn't understand what they had to give and what they had to accept in a way in order to be a great team. Well, this group does. Hibbert, when he was first drafted, a lot of people criticized Roy Hibbert. I never did. I thought Roy Hibbert had outstanding NBA written all over him, and I'll tell you why. Because he can get up and down the court, and he's wide. He is a space eater, a lane eater, a goal protector. How many teams would want Roy Hibbert in the middle right now? They're all looking for the Roy Hibberts. Miami is hoping Greg Oden could at some point develop into a Roy Hibbert, because that's the kind of guy that anchors that middle in the NBA. And when you overplay out front to keep those guys from getting the easy shots and they penetrate, having the long arm of the law right there at the goal makes a big difference. It's a big, tall wall. It's like the Green Monster in Boston, except a little bit stronger. Paul George, George Hill, West. I mean, she's got a great group of players. And, folks, I've watched them all year. They play both ends of the court. And as a coach, that's what you got to have out of your guys playing both ends of the court. I was watching some NBA highlights today, and I'm not going to go into the teams, Archibald, Portland, some different teams I was watching. I mean, there were literally times where when they stood there and watched the ball bounce in front of them. If you watch the Pacers, they don't let the ball bounce in front of them. They go get it. They get on the floor. They sacrifice the things that they need to do in order to get victories. And I love the Pacers. I love the Pacers. There's no doubt about it. I love how they play the game on both ends of the court. If you've got thoughts on the Pacers, if you've got comments on the show, if you don't like what I said about Robinson Cano, feel free to call the show. You can call us at 773-897-6325. Or you can tweet Coach K. You can tweet Coach K at Coach K and Joe Show. You can text me directly. Here's my text. I only give it out a couple times a show. 812-480-9449. And again, we certainly appreciate our listeners, and we want to shout out to our local Edward Jones advisor, Janet Schulteis. Hey, if you got money and you want to grow it, you want to grow that money, give her a call at Edward Jones. She's an advisor, and she can work with anybody that's listening. Call her here in Evansville. We're going to have Michael Lewis coming up. We're going to talk some Butler basketball. They got Purdue coming up. They got U of B coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about with Michael about him as a high school player. It's going to be a lot of fun for the next 15 minutes. But before we do that, we're going to go to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubilar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubilar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubilar & Sons Chevy, Cadillac, and Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You're talking with the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. And first up, we've got, we've been promising this since the show started at 10 Eastern, 9 Central, Michael Lewis, assistant coach with the Butler Bulldogs. The Dogs are off to another great season. They've got a couple of big tilts coming up, one with Purdue, in-state rival. And Michael, great to have you on the show.
Oh, it's great to be back, Coach. How are you?
Well, I know that most of the time when we get together, good things happen for the Butler Bulldogs. So let's hope that our reunion here will cause the Dogs to keep barking all the way to victory.
We've had a good run. I think the only time we've spoken and came up short was in the second round of the tournament last year against Marquette. So we've got a good thing going. Let's hopefully we can continue it.
I think that the Dogs will. You know, I was able to catch – I want to regress a little bit. I know where we're going to go on your upcoming games, but I want to regress a little bit if we can, Michael. Talk about your time down. I believe it was down in Florida. You took on several good teams down there. A couple of games I just wanted to touch base on, they ended up with L's behind them. Don't get mad at me for it, but I want to talk a little bit about the Oklahoma State game.
Yeah, Oklahoma State, obviously one of the better teams in the country, and we had a hard fought game the game before against Washington State. We were able to come up with the victory, and I thought our guys followed a scouting report and a game plan well. They competed, really played hard. Just came up a few plays short. We got behind. We were able to come back and tie it up, and made some plays at the end to give us an opportunity to win the game. And Oklahoma State is good. I mean, they're ranked where they are for a reason. They've got a lot of different weapons. Just were not able to make enough plays down the stretch to win. You know, we put ourselves in a position there in the last couple minutes to win, which is what we ask our guys to do, and then we just came up short. But I think what it showed was what this team is capable of. Night in and night out, that we do have the ability to compete with some of the better teams in the country.
Yeah, I was going to say that's what I really noticed about the game, that you proved you can compete with those top 10 teams, as not to mention top 20, but top 10 teams. Of course, Oklahoma State has been ranked in that upper tier all year. A couple of moments in the game, I just want to talk to you from a coaching team growth strategy standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
In the game, Butler had an opportunity end out of bounds underneath Butler's basket, had to take two consecutive timeouts to get the ball in. I know that people watching the game, and including myself, you know, I'm thinking through as a coach, and I'm thinking, okay, two timeouts, that's tough to do. Is somebody not on the same page? Did we try to run something a little more difficult than we should have? I mean, take us through that segment under the basket, the two timeouts, which actually later in the game, at the end, got the ball back, couldn't call the timeout.
Yeah, it came back to hurt us. obviously, you know, you don't want to have to call two timeouts in that situation. We had done a good job of managing the game, that we had some opportunities to stop it. We had some timeouts in our pocket, and we had to burn two of them just to get the ball inbounds, you know, baseline underneath. And you don't want to put yourselves in that situation. Obviously, you'd much rather call the timeout than turn it over. Just some execution mistakes there at the end on some out-of-bounds plays. Probably could have made a pass in and got it in on one of them and chose not to. It was execution. And that probably falls on – obviously that's going to fall on us, on the staff of not communicating clearly exactly what we were looking for at that time. But our guys fought and competed and put themselves in a position, just came up a little bit short.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really do. My point was that with this team, and you've got some young guys on this team, it's a great opportunity. You'd rather not learn from it, but it's a great opportunity to get some growth and learning. So when that happens in the conference situation or down the line in the tournament, you're a bit better prepared, and these guys have grown from the experience.
Yeah, I think we've played, what, 9 games, and I think only 2 of them have been, you know, separated by some points. You know, we've been in close games throughout the year, been in a couple overtime games. And that's kind of like, you look back in the history of Butler, that's kind of what Butler does. Fortunately, we do have some guys that have been in situations like that know how to handle it. They've been on bigger stages. Our younger guys obviously are learning quickly. They're starting to develop and buy in more and more each day to the amount of details that go into each game and how important those details are, because you know, we're in a lot of these close games, and they come down to two possession games, and that's a learning process, and every college player goes through it, and our guys are right in the middle of that.
And you talk about the learning process and the growth of this team. I love your team, and I love what you guys are doing with them. Tell me a couple things about the growth of Kellen Dunham. I mean, here's a guy that he was the shooter last year. Hit some big shots for you, but he wasn't the guy everybody was looking at. You know, they were looking at your big man. They were looking at Rondi. I mean, Kellen has had to grow into a leadership role, the key guy that the defense is on. Even in that Oklahoma State game, you know, he was quiet, quiet, quiet. They were all over him, quiet. And then, boom, he hits big threes to put you right back in the game. How has he progressed? How has he matured this year?
Well, he's really grown as a player. He's gotten bigger. He's gotten stronger. His mindset, you know, he's much more aggressive. You know, I think, last year was good and bad for Kellen in ways. It was good for him because he wasn't the focal point of our offense. He was able to kind of step in and kind of learn from Rodney and kind of be in Rodney's shadows a little bit as far as being a second option shooter on the perimeter. Didn't get a ton of the defensive attention, which, you know, as a freshman coming in, he was kind of able to learn and grow at his own pace, and he has some guys to lean on. And the negative part of that is now this year, you know, he's kind of thrust into that spotlight, and he's taken on the focus of every defense that we see. But he is able to, like you said, he is able to go through a game. And he hunts his shots, which we want him to do. We run a lot of different actions to get him free. We use him as a decoy in some situations. But he is a kid that he can hurt you in a hurry. You know, he just like Rodney last year, Kellen Dunham can go on a 9-0 run in a minute. You know, I mean, he can put up video game numbers very quickly. And you have to know where he's at all times. His mindset this year is much more aggressive to get his shots. And you saw it a little bit last year at times when Rodney was out. You know, the Gonzaga game comes to mind. When Rodney was hurt, Kellen stepped up and took a little bit more of the offensive load for us. And he's a kid you love to coach. He soaks everything in. He wants to be great. He works to be great. He does not... he does not have a half speed. You know, you have to kind of watch him at times and kind of pull him back so he doesn't overdo it and remind him it's a long season, because when he comes in, whether it's practice, before practice, after practice, when he comes back late at night on his own, it's full speed, and he doesn't know anything else. He is awesome to work with. He's great to coach, and I'm just glad he's got a Bulldog uniform and we're not trying to prepare for him.
I agree with that. Here's a guy that's you look at his field goal percentage, it's only about 43% right now, but if you look at his three-point percentage, it's rounded out at 48%. He's 80% at the line. He's just a dead eye from three. He's an outstanding free throw shooter. I guess what you would really love to do is find him more opportunities at that free throw line.
Yeah, we want to get him the free throw line. You know, actually, for Kellen, 80% from the free throw line is low. Like, you know, he misses a free throw here in Hinkle, and the air gets let out of the building. Oh, you know, like nobody expects Kellen to miss a free throw. But I joke with him to quit shooting twos. You know, I mean, you're shooting a better percentage from three. But he just works. He understands the game. He played for a really good high school coach. You know, he came from a system that, you know, he had to learn how to cut and read screens. Kellen will be the first one to tell you he's not the most athletic guy on the floor. He's not the fastest guy on the floor, but he makes up for it with being able to read screens and the proper cuts, and he's got a really quick release. He is 6'5", so he's got some extra height, and he can shoot over the top of people, and he's really developed into a really good college player that's going to have some opportunities down the line.
Well, you've got Dunham at about 19 points a game, Marshall at about 17, Woods is coming in with 10, and the other player I wanted to touch base with you on in the segment we have with you is Elijah Brown. Young freshman, looks like he's got all kinds of potential. I saw some really sparkles from him as I watched those games, and I saw some of the growth process that he's going to go through. Kind of give us your upside and your growth ideas on Elijah.
Well, I think Elijah, he comes from a basketball background. Obviously, a lot of people know his dad, Mike, is the head coach of Cleveland Cavs and has been around the NBA. So he's been around the game. He's been around high-level players. Elijah can be as good as he wants to be. You know, if he'll dedicate himself to working on his game, which he is a gym rat. He comes in early. He stays late. You know, right now he's having a freshman year. You know, he's going to have games where against Oklahoma State, you know, I think he got 15. You know, when I say a freshman year, what Elijah needs to do is just become more consistent in his play. You know, right now you're seeing, you know, a game of 15, a game of two, and it's not just about scoring. He's picking up the defensive system better, and as his approach and he gets more in tune to details on both ends of the court, you know, he's going to continue to grow. And I think, you know, we've seen some growth from him just in the last 2 weeks as far as his approach to practice and scouting reports and the little details that go into each day of being a good college player. He's got a ton of ability. He wants to be good. He's still learning about how to go about becoming as good as he can be.
I certainly think that his upside there's no ceiling on it. It's how hard he wants to work, and I'm sure he's going to work hard. Big game coming up. Every game's big. You're not into the conference period yet, but you've got an in-state rival. You've got Purdue, a friend of yours, Matt Painter. Matt's team much improved this year in the Crossroads Classic. Butler and Purdue go up head-to-head. What can you tell us about the Boilermakers and what the Dogs need to do?
Well, I think, like you said, Purdue is much improved. You know, I like their team. I think they're very solid defensively. You know, on the offensive end, I think they're still putting their pieces together. You can see their young guys, you know, growing and learning and starting to fit in and understand their roles. You know, I've always liked the Johnson brothers, even when, you know, from the time they were in high school. I've enjoyed watching them play. You know, I think Matt does a great job, and the Crossroads Crossroads Classic has turned into something that people look forward to each year. I think it's a great event with the four teams here from the state, you know, down in Bankers Life. It's kind of got an NCAA tournament atmosphere. It's really cool to be a part of, and our guys are excited. Obviously, we know a lot about each other as we head into the game, and we're going to have to play really well. You know, we're going to have to continue to improve. We're going to have to really defend the drive. You know, Purdue is very good off the bounce, and they play a lot with using their athleticism and their speed, and we're going to have to be able to contain them and then get to the proper shooters.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun, and if you're up in the Indianapolis area, get out there and watch the Crossroad Classics. It's an awesome matchup of teams. It's not maybe conference rival, but it's the in-state rivalry, and that makes things go. Michael, before we let you go, 100 years of Jasper basketball coming up. You played at Jasper High School. You were an Indiana All-Star. And I want to mention this to our listeners. In the state of Indiana, at the end of the year, they pick an Indiana High School All-Star team. Now, anywhere from, go throughout the history, anywhere from, 5,000 high school players to 4,000 high school players, whatever it might be, and they're going to pick 12 to 15 guys to be Indiana All-Stars. Fortunately, I've had a connection with three or four Indiana All-Stars over the years. You're one of them, Michael. You're going back to celebrate Jasper's first game 100 years ago in their new arena, which is the first home game in the arena. And I know Scott Rowland will be there. You'll be there. Just some thoughts on going back home and the celebration and be a big part of that.
Well, I'm excited to go back. Once I got the phone call that they were doing it, I immediately was all in. If there was anything I could do to help, I was all for it. It was a special time in my life. You know, I think to play not just basketball but any sport at Jasper it was special for me. I think the community itself supports high school athletics so well. They travel well to away games. It should be a special evening. I know a lot of people have put a lot of time and effort and work into planning this event, and my family and I are excited to come back and to witness the first game in the new arena. I've actually walked through it over the summer, early fall when I was back home, and what a beautiful facility. They did it right, just as Jasper always does, and just looking forward to being a small part of a big night in Jasper basketball history.
Well, Michael, you scored over 2,000 career points, Indiana All-Star, All-State player. Just you deserve to be celebrated for the things that you've accomplished. And as an assistant with Butler, you've got Purdue coming up on December 14th, Crossroad Classic at Bankers Life. And then you come to Evansville, to the Ford Center, and you take on the Purple Aces of Marty Simmons. And when you play U of E at home, it's never easy.
No, they're undefeated at home, and I think Marty does a great job. I've started watching his team this week, and they're exactly what you expect. You know, they're very fundamental. They're very disciplined. They play extremely hard. They're physical. And he's got a group of guys that they're not only good this year, but you look at the age of those guys. He's building a team down there that should make Evansville very proud over the next few years. There's not a lot in our game, not a lot of coaches in our game that do it as well as Marty does, and he's getting the talent around to do some special things down there. My question is, you gonna take me to dinner when I'm down there, or am I going to have to pick up the tab?
We'll find a way to hook up with you and get you a free dinner on the Coach K and Joe show.
Pull out your corporate card.
We look forward to seeing you tonight, possibly at the celebration. Definitely when you get to Evansville to play the Aces. And, you know, the big-time conference is looming large at the end of the month, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you a bit around that time as well.
Well, anytime. I look forward to it.
All right, Michael. Thanks for being with us. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to touch on that Broncos loss last night, a little bit of NFL, and then we're going to talk Indy high school area hoops with Indy contributor Don Schulteis. Boy, they got a lot of talent in the Indy area, and I'm sure Michael Lewis is looking all over for that. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk Broncos, NFL, and then Indy high school hoops. You're listening to the Friday edition of the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Man, that's a great tune. I kind of wanted to listen to the tune, but I'm sure my listeners want to listen to me more than the music, I think. Hey, we're going to touch base on the Broncos and Peyton Manning last night before we get with Don Schulteis and talk Indy high school hoops. A lot going on up in the Indianapolis area. We'll be talking with him in just a couple minutes. But I do want to touch on the Broncos Chargers game last night because the loss by the Broncos, it kind of reopened things as far as home field advantage. And it also opened up the questions about Peyton Manning late in the season. I don't buy that stuff. I'll take Peyton Manning at my quarterback position anytime. But I know that people can point to the statistics and the one-off games and things like that. Of course, they sidestep all the other games that he won, the Super Bowl, the runner-up, the other division playoffs, and they isolate to the other things. Change things with the potential of the home field advantage. And who does it let back in? It lets New England back in. Tom Brady and the Patriots. Ugh. I hate to hear those names. Great team, great quarterback. Just don't want them back in the mix. And now they're back in because the Chargers beat Peyton Manning and the Broncos at Denver, opening it back up that Denver could lose home field advantage. It's possible now. It wasn't before. The question is, to listeners, and you might text us or call into the show, you can text me at 812-480-9449. That's 812-480-9449. Coach K, you can text me. Does it matter? Does home field really matter in the NFL? Unless you are used to playing indoors, maybe? Is the cold weather the detriment? We used to say in Indiana that when it came to the cold weather, the Colts were at a disadvantage with Peyton Manning because he's not used to throwing in cold weather. Well, now he's in Denver, and it's cold weather, and they got beat by the Chargers. And guess what? Phillip Rivers and the Chargers, they're a warm weather team. Yeah, Coach K, it's a warm weather team. Phillip Rivers, when he was interviewed after the game, that guy was as giddy as a high school student who just got a prom date. I mean, he was excited about winning that game, Actually, Phillip Rivers has a great record in December and January against the top-ranked teams in the NFL. I think he's like 10-3 against those teams. He's also done well against the Manning brothers, as he said. But it just kind of changes the scenario. It looked like the Broncos had this thing wrapped up. I still don't think any team has anything wrapped up, but I don't like it when you let the sneaky New England Patriots, Tom Brady, back in. I won't even mention the coach. With Gronkowski hurt, I'm not so sure that it's going to help the Patriots anyway, but boy, they do seem to find a way to win. Of course, New England has to go up against the Dolphins this weekend. The Dolphins have lost 7 straight games to the New England Patriots, and I think Joe has a clip about the Dolphins we'll either have probably later in the show, but things have kind of got rattled because of that Thursday night game. What all the analysts, what all the know-it-alls of NFL thought were done, the Mike and Mikes, everybody, the stinks who said, oh, this thing's wrapped up for the Broncos. Hey, they found a corner that they forgot to tape shut on the wrapping paper. One of the corners, you know, Don Schulteis, our next guest, he's much better at wrapping presents than I am. I would leave one of those corners. The little tape, piece of tape, did not stretch far enough, and the corner came unwrapped. Well, that's what happened to the Broncos. All right, we're going to jump over to Indianapolis High School Hoops and Don Schulteis, but if you got a comment on the NFL, text me at 812-480-9449, or feel free to call into the show and talk to Joe, and we'll put you on live or just take your question, 773-897-6325. That's 773-897-6325. Don Schulteis, Indy correspondent, welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Coach K, great to be on today. It's Hoosier hysteria at its fullest, and I just got excited to listen to Michael Lewis earlier, and you guys posted that video highlight film, and it's just amazing. We don't always appreciate how good he was in high school. He went on to have a great career at IU, and now just to listen to him analyze a basketball game and the preparation that it takes, it's really fun.
Yeah, and I really liked how Michael handled a couple of my questions, because I did ask some difficult questions, especially about the 2 timeouts EOB, what we call EOB in basketball lingo. It's tough when you have to use 2 timeouts to get the ball in. Was the play too difficult? Were we guys not on the same page? I thought he handled it well, and it just proves again that Michael is the real deal as he moves on in his profession as a coach.
No doubt about it. And, you know, you asked him about Kellen Dunham, and there's a great article in the Indianapolis Star today about Kellen Dunham and the work that he puts in. It really just confirmed and backed up everything Michael said. And it's interesting, if you've got some young listeners out there that are playing basketball or parents of basketball players, really what it takes to be in that elite class. And it highlights that he'll go to Hinkle Fieldhouse at midnight or 1-2 in the morning and go through a couple-hour workout, just working on shooting and coming off screens and getting his release off quickly. So it's a must-read for those basketball junkies down that are all listening to the show.
Yeah, I mean, playing games helps you stay in a rhythm. Playing AAU helps you get noticed and play against good competition, but you cannot, and listen to me, what Don Schulteis just said, folks, you cannot become a better basketball player, football player, baseball player, insurance, investments, whatever it is you do, you cannot unless you take the time to prepare on the individual skills that it takes, and you don't make them up all the time. You learn from other people, and then you copy what they do. Some of the greatest businesses, successful players in professional sports or whatever level, they didn't make up the move. They didn't make up the investment strategy. They didn't make up the business plan. They borrowed it from someone else who was successful. Don't be afraid to copy. In the end, you're still putting your own signature on it. Don Schulteis, Indianapolis area high school hoops. The reason people around the country listening to us should be interested in this is because some of the best players going into college basketball are coming out of the Indianapolis area. Don, let's start wherever you want to start. Let's talk Indy hoops.
Well, let me just highlight a couple of things that happened last week in the middle of this week, and then maybe we'll segue into what's coming on this weekend. But, you know, last weekend, talk about great players, Coach K. We had some phenomenal individual performances last weekend. Trey Lyles, who I think is one of the top, if not the top candidate for Mr. Basketball in Indiana, had two big wins in the Marshall City Hoop Fest down in Louisville. Indianapolis Tech, who is now ranked 17th in the country, one behind Carmel of Indiana, and we'll get to them in a second, but two Indiana teams ranked 16 and 17 in the country, according to USA Today. But Trey had a great weekend. He set the individual scoring record for Indianapolis Tech. He beat Frank Kendrick, who was a great player, went on to Purdue, and I think coached at Purdue as well. But in a big 87-84 win over number one Louisville Ballard, he scored 30 and had 19 rebounds, and then he followed that up later in the day against a really highly touted Huntington Prep team in a 54-51 win. He had 22 and 14 rebounds. Just a phenomenal Saturday for him last week, and moved Tech to 3-1 for the year. Their only loss coming to Bowman Academy, which is the number two ranked 3A team. I have not seen them play, but they must be tough. Follow that up with Trayvon Blewett, who's the star at Park Tudor, another, I think, close candidate for Mr. Basketball. He's going to be heading on to Xavier. Had 35 in a win over Indianapolis Roncalli. His Park Tudor team won 82-56. And then no other than James Blackman, don't count him out. He may be the one that ends up winning Mr. Basketball just because of the numbers and the fact that he's going to Indiana. He had 39 in a loss to perennial power Lawrence North in a 64-56 loss, but he had 39. He followed up on a 54-point performance a few days earlier. So great players in Indiana. And I should mention two-time state champion Carmel, Zach McRoberts, who's the brother of Josh McRoberts, an NBA player, had 28 in a win on Saturday last week against Lawrence Central, who's a very good team. So there's a lot of great players up here, and it's fun just to see how they're doing from game to game.
You know, Don, speaking of Indianapolis Tech and Trey Lyles, he will be, for people in the Evansville, Indiana area, the southern part of the state, southern Illinois, Kentucky, across the Ohio River, northern Kentucky, Trey Lyles and his team from Indianapolis Tech will be down here playing Evansville North in the Evansville Bossy Showcase, as I said, is right outside Coach K's window of the studio here on December 21st. They will also be playing, you talked about James Blackman Jr., playing Marion on December 23rd. And if I'm not mistaken, Don Schulteis, they'll be taking on your Cathedral Irish on December 13th, and, of course, my nephew and your son, Matt Schulteis, plays for Cathedral's JV and dresses a little varsity. So there's some opportunities to see this Indianapolis Tech team and this great player in Trey Lyles over these next few weeks.
Absolutely, and I encourage anybody in the area that can catch Tech down in the southern part of the state to do so. I think they're one of the best, if not the best team in the state. On paper, they are. I think one of the things that people wonder sometimes is how they can handle adversity during tight points in a game and the chemistry. And if they're able to get that dialed in, I think they're going to be an incredible team and make a lot of noise. Trey Lyles, I think for your listeners, he is quite a talent. He's 6'10". He can shoot from out. He's great with his back to the basket. He's got a great baseline spin move on either side of the basket that is quick and big time. I mean, if somebody comes and he'll go through and do a reverse dunk or reverse layup, or if you give him that rim, he'll put it right over you. And it's going to be very interesting to see how Cathedral defends that tonight. Is number four in 4A Cathedral goes to Tech, and we'll be facing up with them tonight.
You know, Don, you brought up the loss that Tech had with Bowman Academy. Bowman Academy, you mentioned a 3A team. Now, they were moved up because of the success rule. Isn't that correct?
That is right. And you know, these classes don't always capture the essence of these teams. I mean, Bowman is up in the northern part of the state and draws from a big area and can bring in a lot of different levels of talent. And so I think what happened at Bowman, I was told that Tech was up like 22-2, and Bowman made a huge run on him, and that's where that adversity came in. And the Tech players kind of started pointing the fingers at who was not doing their job, and instead of coming together and stopping the run. So no doubt that Bowman's got a lot of talent. Maybe Tech learned a lesson, and maybe that is what spurred him on last weekend to that double win victory on Saturday against two very good teams.
I think that bodes well, or at least connects up well, to your comment earlier about whether Tech, how tough they are as a team and mentally. And I know that there's been some questions, and our listeners have to understand, we're just talking about the things that are apparent, that Trey Lyles and the rest of his teammates, how tough are they mentally in sticking together when things get difficult, whether that be in the course of a game, whether that be in difficult week of practice, whether that be with an injury. How tough are you mentally to stay together and to get back in there and really fulfill the destiny as of the team that you could be?
Absolutely, and you know, Coach K, that's just indicative of life, where we all face adversity at different times, whether it be family or business or sports, in this case basketball. And the really great teams figure out that it's a team game and that we need to rely on each other to get their jobs done. And if somebody's having an off night or making a few mistakes, somebody has to pull them over and in a constructive way and instruct that, or other people have to take up the slack and fill in where the weakness is. And that's what happened to Tech last year, Coach K, that I thought in the second half of the season, as teams got better and put more pressure on them. I know I saw Cathedral beat them twice, once for the city championship and then one for the sectional championship. And they tended to kind of kind of break apart a bit when they were up against it. And you gotta just fill in and strengthen and hold. And if they're able to learn how to do that and in the process of doing that, I think you're going to see them become one of the great teams. They got so much talent on that team, and they've got to figure out a way to get the most out of it from a team standpoint. Carmel always does that, and they've done it the last 2 years. They're undefeated again this year, and, you know, if you could use them as an example, and Tech can kind of move to that level, it's going to be fun to watch.
No doubt Scott Hetty does a great job with that Carmel team. Real quickly, Don, before this segment ends, we know that USA Today says Carmel and Indianapolis Tech are nationally ranked teams, Carmel and then Tech behind them as far as in their top 25 rankings. Give me your five top teams in the Indianapolis area before we go to break.
Well, I think number one is this week is Carmel. I had Tech number one the last time we talked 2 weeks ago. Carmel's 3-0, and they just continue to execute and play great team basketball. Tech is my number two team this week, and I guess those could, you know, flip-flop from week to week. Tech is 3-1. They've got, as we talked about, they've got to play Cathedral tonight, and that's a rivalry. I think on paper Tech should beat Cathedral, but I wouldn't put anything past the Irish. I think number three has to still be Park Tudor. I had them number three the last time we talked. They're 2-0. It seems like they are playing really good team basketball as well as getting the most out of their individual talent with Trevon Blewett. Number four would be Pike at 3-0. And, you know, they're undefeated. They had a lot of kids to replace. They had three guards that went on to Division I scholarships from last year's team, and they just seemed like they picked it up and start moving on. Although their three victories have been close, I think it's been a total of 8-point wins for them. And then I'd throw a number of teams in at that number five right now. Hamilton Southeastern, it just seems like they continue to play well. They're undefeated, 3-0, graduating. Zach Irvin last year went on to Michigan. I think Cathedral's a pretty good team. I'd like to see more. So there's some other names. You know, Cathedral plays Columbus North, who's the number three ranked team in 4A tomorrow in the Forum Credit Union shootout. And so that'll be interesting. I haven't seen Columbus North play, but a lot of people have told me they're a good team. And I should mention Greensburg, the number one team in 3A, the defending state champion. A lot of kids back and have been playing well and playing tough basketball.
Well, we're keeping an eye on these teams. And Don, don't go away. We're going to go to break, but when we come back, we're going to talk just a few minutes about IU basketball. And I know you were at the IU game the other night celebrating your 50th birthday. Before Joe has an interview on Spencer County High School Hoops. We're going to go to break real quick. When we come back with Don, we're going to talk a little bit IU and then move it on to Joe. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories, and they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Bachman Turner Overdrive brought us back. Great song. Hey, Don, we're going to talk a little bit about IU for a few minutes before we move on to Steve Kolb talking about Spencer County Hoops.
Hey, this is Coach
Don. You were in Bloomington the other night celebrating your 50th birthday. Happy birthday, by the way. To watch Hoosiers, and you wanted to see those Hoosiers bounce back a little bit. We got a great performance out of Evan Gordon, and they did bounce back with a victory. they beat North Florida. They beat Oakland the other night after a tough loss at Syracuse, where we look exactly what we are, a very young team. We lost to a good Connecticut team at Madison Square Gardens. This is a team that has, you know, we've won the games we're supposed to win. Not many of those teams have had winning records, but we've won the games we're supposed to win. We've got Notre Dame coming up in the Crossroads Classic. I was excited about this matchup with Notre Dame until Notre Dame lost to Bryant. I thought they let's talk about where they're at with Oakland in that game and what you saw of the Hoosiers.
Yeah, well, I think you've summed it up. They're beating the teams they're supposed to be. We're at that juncture where, you know, they're executing and winning pretty handedly against the teams that you gotta beat and are on the schedule for you to beat. But I think the jury remains out on whether they're a really good team. I think they can get there. I tell you one thing that I really noticed is that on the positive side, we are truly one of the most athletic teams that Indiana's had in years. I mean, it just seems like as players, not only the starting five, but as they come in off the bench, how athletic and skilled they are. But the big deficiency that I see, and it's been talked about it ad nauseum, is their outside shooting. And yes, Aaron Gordon had a great night. He scored, I think, 26 points, and I think he was 9 for 11. At one point, he was 8 for 8, and it was unbelievable. He just, it seemed like anything he threw up, it was going in. But we're still, Austin Etherington needs to be able to come in off the bench and knock down those 15 to 18 footers where he's wide open. I didn't see that. Yogi's got to be more consistent. I know he's had games where he's hit two or three in a row, but we need a go-to. And I'll tell you, Will Sheehy is really struggling offensively. I know you talk a lot about the fact that he's kind of a black hole and shoots all the time, but, you know, he scored, I think, 5 points the other night, and he didn't have one field goal. And he's your senior returning player, should be the leader, should be one of the go-to guys on the floor as many games and as many big shots as he's hit over the course of time, and we haven't seen that. And then one more point is Jeremy Hollowell, who just seems to play with no emotion or passion at all. But then you look at it, he's not scoring a lot, but he had 10 or 11 rebounds for the game. So he's doing the job inside, but he's got to be able to get a rebound or grab it off the rim and just slam it back home. And when we start to see those kinds of things with IU, I think we're going to see them turning the corner.
Well, I think the interesting point you brought up is one that I've been, you know, I've felt this way for a while, and I think that there's a head-on a collision going on with Coach Crean and Will Sheehy. I think it's not Will Sheehy is being a problem for Coach Crean. I think that Coach, what my point is, that Coach Crean says, Will, you have to be this type of player for us mentally so you can be this way physically. And I think right now, with the Crossroads Classic coming up, it's kind of ironic, Will Sheehy is at a crossroads in his senior season. I think that somewhere along the line, Don, Will has got to reach deep down and put whatever he thinks he needs to do on the back burner and just say, I'm going to focus in on exactly what this coaching staff needs me to do. And if he'll do that, he'll become comfortable with it. It's like a habit. It's like anything else, Don. It's a habit. It takes time to get comfortable with it, and he's got to keep himself from reverting back to the way he thinks is comfortable for him to play. He really, in order to help this team grow up and become the team it needs to be in the Big Ten Conference and the Big Ten Tournament, Will Sheehy is at a crossroads. Is he going to play the way Will Sheehy feels comfortable playing, or is he going to play and become comfortable in the way that Coach Crean and this staff needs him to play.
Yeah, my take is that he thinks he's got to be a Victor Oladipo-type player this year because he is a senior. He's got all the starts behind him. He's got all the minutes. He doesn't need to be that. I think Indiana's got a lot of weapons and a lot more weapons athletically than they've had in the past. What he needs to do is lead the team and just really get to a point where he's relaxed and he can score for them or as you like to point out on the show oftentimes, raise other people up to do that. And once he starts to make that transition or get comfortable, as you say, in kind of that role, and I think that's what Crean wants him to do. He doesn't have to be Victor Oladipo.
I mentioned last week when we talked with Dustin Dvorak from the Herald Telephone in Bloomington, you know, leadership, you have to be a leader whether you're playing well or not, Don. For our listeners, what I'm talking about from a coaching standpoint, you have to be able to multitask a little bit on the floor. You have to be able to forget certain things that are happening. You know, if you swing and miss in baseball, you got to forget about it. You got to get ready to swing again. If you shoot and miss in basketball, you got to forget about it. You got to be ready to take the next good shot. But to add to that, if you're going to be a leader, which Will Sheehy needs to be, which Yogi Ferrell, unfortunately, at such a young age, has to be, you've got to be able to multitask. You can't be a leader just when you're playing well. You can't be a leader just when you're shooting well. You can't have the confidence to tell players where they need to be, what to do, what not to do, just when you're playing well. You can't sit around and say, well, I really can't say that because I'm not shooting the ball very well right now. You have to be the stated leader on the court, and it doesn't matter exactly how you're playing, if you're having a great game or not, but you're doing the things you're supposed to do, and you're helping the other people to do the things they need to do. It can be tough for some guys to do. Some guys don't like that. I can name some great players who played for me who didn't like doing that. They were leaders, but only in their play, only in their effort. They weren't the kind of leaders that helped the team get better the way they needed to. Michael Lewis was. Michael Lewis, didn't matter whether he was having a great game or not, he made sure he kept the guys on the court doing the extra things that they need to do. So my take, my thoughts are this. Will Sheehy, if you're listening or one of your friends is listening, listen, you got to do the things the coaches want you to do. It may not be comfortable right now, but I can promise you by January it will be comfortable, and by February it will be old hat. And you've got to put out how you're playing. That's got to go on second tier. You got to base it on what do I need to do to help this team, both in the physical and the mental part, be able to play. And that's the big thing. I mentioned earlier that Notre Dame had lost to Bryant. Excuse me, it was North Dakota State, Crossroads Classic coming up. I'm not that excited about this matchup with Notre Dame because of the loss to North Dakota State. I don't think this is a great Notre Dame team, Donnie.
No, I've watched them play twice, and I did take in the loss to North Dakota State the other night on Wednesday night, and they're a very average team, and I think IU should come into Bankers Life on Saturday, which I will say I will be in attendance at that game. They should take care of business, and I wouldn't be surprised if Indiana wins by going away by 20 or more. Now, you got to come in ready to play and all that, but Notre Dame has got to restock the shelves, and they've got to get a little bit more talent up there. Mike Bray's going to struggle here in the next couple of years because they've got a tough conference that they're going into with the ACC.
No doubt about it. He may find himself in the hot water. I mean, he should, and he's done a great job, but that Mac Brown finds himself in Texas. Hey, we're going to go to break. Don, great having you. Happy birthday again. Don's great line is, today's 50. 50 is today's 30 or yesterday's 30, however that goes, Donnie. You're always 25 in my mind. We look forward to having you in the weeks to come. We're going to break. Joe's going to have Steve Kolb talking Spencer County basketball. Heritage Hill, Seth Spencer. When we come back, You're listening to The Coach and The Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with The Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You know, a lot of great information there about Indianapolis area basketball. Now we're going to go to Southern Indiana basketball, specifically Spencer County basketball, and we've got the authority on Spencer County basketball, Steve Kolb with UAXL. Steve, how you doing today?
I'm good, Joe. Good to talk to you guys again. And happy holidays, in case I forget to tell you that at the end.
And, you know, we've got two teams to talk about. We've got Heritage Hills. We've got South Spencer. South Spencer's already sitting at 2-0. And actually, we're sitting at December 13th, and Heritage Hills did not make a run in the football playoffs, and the basketball Patriots are still sitting at 0-0.
Yeah, it's bizarre that they haven't played. We'll get the first look at them tonight when they host North Posey, assuming that the weather's going to hold off, and we'll get that one in. I think we will. But, yeah, it's bizarre that they haven't played a game yet. And they did run into problems with that early in the 2000s where they bumped the start of the basketball season back on purpose, and their first game was scheduled for December 7th, and then that got snowed out. So they really only missed one game, but it does. I'm sure these guys are going stir-crazy in the gym against each other every day and ready to get out and see a different colored uniform go against them. And you're right, South Spencer off to a very good start under a first-year head coach, guy that I know you know very well, and Ted O'Brien.
Yes, I know him just a little bit. But getting to Heritage Hills first, Heritage Hills, you know, Matt Sisley, the seventh year at the school, sits at 55-78, but has everybody back from a strong team from last year.
Yeah, and listeners, he's not saying he has most everybody back. He literally has everybody back. They had no seniors on the roster last year. They return everybody plus a few guys up from JV that look to try to warm their way in for minutes where they can this year. So it's a very deep, experienced, and very talented ball club. And they've got a couple of guys that can absolutely fill the basket up, and Devin Murder and Gavin Schaefer, a couple of guys around them that on any given night can go for 10, 15, or 20. So they're very hard to scout because it's very hard to know which guy's going to step up other than those the first two, obviously, and know who's going to get you on a given night. You know, there are things that they need to address from last year if they want to make the kind of postseason run they want to make, and it'll be interesting to see, and Coach Sisley's been upfront about those things as well, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle those here early in the season.
Now, you know, we talked about Devin Murder there. Devin's recently committed to Huntington to continue his basketball career next year. We've been talking a lot today. It seems like everybody we talk to, there's a connection. Tonight is the 100th anniversary of Jasper basketball. And, you know, when you talk Jasper basketball, you know, the Murder brothers, Dean and Dwayne, back in the 80s, you know, were a large part of those teams. And Devin is a great athlete as well. Tell us a little bit about, you know, you've seen him since he's a freshman. He's been playing on the varsity. Now, tell us a little bit about how his game's evolved over the last 3 years.
Well, yeah, he played a little bit on the varsity level as a freshman and then again as a sophomore. And the thing that's really changed about Devin is he's gone from being just a guy that was out there to shoot jump shots to a guy that's out there to score. As a sophomore and junior, he was out there to score, not just to shoot. And then last year as a junior, his leadership really came through and doing the little things, the rebounding, the defense, the diving on the floor after loose basketballs. He was a very complete basketball player last year. He's long and lanky, but not physically a big guy, and he took some pounding and some bruising in some games trying to get inside, but he didn't give up on that and continued to try to be a player that could hurt you both inside and out. And I know Coach Sicily was awfully proud of that last year and looking for more of that last year and excuse me, looking for some other guys to expand their games as well, because Devin has his game has grown tremendously since his freshman year. He was just a guy that would try to spot up for a three-point shooter early on, and now he's very much a complete basketball player.
And, you know, from there, the cast of characters on the team, just a really solid group. You know, you've got Schaefer, you've got Ward, you've got Sherry, you've got multiple others I'm sure I'm forgetting. But, you know, with the athletes he has, do you see him playing an up-tempo game this year?
Definitely. That's where they were best last year, is getting the ball out in transition and running on people, because most games, 1 through 5, could get out and run the floor on you and score in transition. And they've got some guards. We mentioned, obviously, Murder and Schaefer, and they're sort of more like wing players, but that can play the guard position. But his two or three actual guards in Sherry and Ward and some other guys, they can they have the ability to get the eyes up the floor and find guys in transition and leave that break. Justin Crane was the other one that's back from last year that I was blanked on his name for a second there. Sorry about that, Justin. But those guys do a great job of looking up the floor and getting over the defense, getting out in transition. And I expect that they'll continue to do that. Coach Sicily has always been a guy that prefers to play the man-to-man defense, so you'll see that mostly on the defensive end, try to get up and pressure guys and make it difficult, because this isn't a team where they've got some size as far as height, at 6'5 and 6'4 and 6'4, and they don't have a lot of bulk inside. They don't have an actual guy that really prefers to play probably with his back to the basket, with maybe the exception of Caleb Sablehouse, a 6'5 junior, but for the most part, and Andy Sickbert as well, who's a 6'2 senior, plays with his back to the basket some, but they'll give up some size sometimes inside, so they'll try to pressure the guards out front to keep the ball from getting in as easily to that interior, try to disrupt what the other team's guards are doing out front and get into passing lanes and get out in transition, because, frankly, that's where they just at times killed people last year. Now, when they couldn't get out in transition, there were some games where they struggled because they weren't as efficient in the half court as maybe they would have liked to have been, but when they can get out in transition, they're very tough to defend.
Now, the South Spencer Rebels, they're off to a 2-0 start. They beat Owensboro Catholic 54-49, and then also they beat Campbellton 81-46, and as you said, they're coached by first-year head coach Ted O'Brien, my nephew, and, you know, he's undefeated right now as a head coach, so, you know, you got to love that, 2-0. But, you know, I watched Ted play for the Heritage Hills Patriots, hardly ever missed a game, and, you know, he played under Marty Eichelberger, and I think his teams will resemble a lot of what we saw with him and that group when he was at Heritage Hills. I expect a team that's going to be in your face, you know, full court and also running and score. Have you had a chance to see them play yet this year?
Yeah, I've seen both of their games, and they are a man-to-man pressure. Maybe not at quite the frenetic pace that Coach Eichelberger's teams played at, definitely, you know, the emphasis on the defensive end and some of the ball pressure principles that Coach Eichelberger preached. Ted's interesting, I think, because of his basketball background. As you know, his dad and his grandfather both coached basketball. His dad is an assistant coach at Heritage Hills, Steve O'Brien. After he graduated, so Ted played for Marty Eichelberger at Heritage Hills, which is a unique system. to play under. And then after school, I got a job as an assistant coach for several years at Gibson Southern. It wasn't directly there under Jerry O'Brien, but Gibson Southern still uses a lot of the principles of that offensive and defensive system that Coach O'Brien put over there at Gibson Southern. So Ted's basketball background, even at a young age, is pretty varied. So I was really interested to see what his teams would do. And again, it is pressure defense, man-to-man. And the thing that his team has that I wasn't expecting, I guess maybe I just didn't remember. I knew they graduated a few guys from last year, but that team is amazingly deep. They may not have the superstar names at the top of that roster, but they've got a lot of good quality players and interchangeable parts. He's been playing 10, 11, even sometimes 12 players, and getting contributions from all of them. I think against Candleton, he had like 11 guys score out of 12 that played or something like that, and his team is very deep. It's going to be hard to find minutes for everybody as they move through the season.
Now, you talked about how deep they are. Who are some of the key returners for the South Spencer Rebels this year?
Well, when you start with South Spencer, you start with Dakota Reese. He's a four-year letter winner. I'm not sure how much he started as a freshman, but he certainly played, and at least his third year starting. He's a very nice guard, six-foot senior, very nice outside jumper, handles the ball very well, runs the point, runs that offense for them when they ask him to. They've got a couple of other guys that can do that to let him move to a shooting guard role at times. But he runs that show. He's got very quick hands on defense, and he's just a very nice ball player. And then Nathan Keister, a very nice outside shooter, good defender. It looked like he's adding a mid-range jumper to his game as well, and just kind of one of these guys that's very cerebral and understands the game and doesn't wow you with his athletic ability, but has been playing for a couple of years and is a very heady player out there. And then one of the guys that I'm real intrigued with is Isaac Hebner, a 6'5 senior, a guy that's just worked and worked on his game. When you looked at him as a sophomore, you wondered what kind of contribution he could ever make at the varsity level, but he has really worked, and his body has matured, and he's got some nice post moves offensively with some jump hooks, and works well with the power dribble inside when he needs to, and is good defensively, and he really helps them with an inside presence at 6'5 that I think a couple of years ago they wondered whether they'd have by the time this class got to be seniors. You've got a sophomore by the name of Grant Allen, a 6'3 sophomore that's really stepped up and getting his first true experience at the varsity level in basketball, and he's been in double figures both games, led them in scoring against Candleton with 12. And he's been a very nice surprise, I guess you'd say, at the start of the season. Chandler Roberts is a 6'2 senior, and Coach O'Brien described him as a guy that just is down and dirty and does whatever he asks, the little things, never complains, just goes and dives on the floor. And I hate this phrase, but one of those guys you call a high motor guy. He's 100 miles an hour all the time. You got to slow him down sometimes, but he's extremely athletic and dives all over the floor for you, and very good in transition because he can really get out and run and does a lot of those small things you need defensively and hustle wise that you really need. John Michael Stallings, a 6'2 junior, is a guy that can just kill you scoring the basketball. And is working hard at the defensive end to be the player they want him to be there. So those are a few of the guys that have really stepped up. And then Adam Roth, a 5'11 junior, has been very good off the bench. Trevor Lair, 5'10 junior, also very good off the bench. So, again, this team's just it's a lot deeper than I expected it to be. And impressive through the first two games. They kind of struggled against Owensboro Catholic because they were miserable at the free throw line in the first half. And this team that's expected to be a good shooting team but just was like 2 of 10 at the free throw line in the first half, and as a result the lead they should have had at the break wasn't there, and Owensboro Catholic hung around, but South Spencer down the stretch had enough free throws to pull that game out, and then after an even first quarter against Candleton ran away from the Bulldogs the rest of the way and looked very impressive in that game as well. So that's an interesting matchup coming up Saturday night with South Spencer hosting Mount Vernon. They've lost a little bit from last year, but they're a very nice team over there Coach Hostetler's done a very nice job over at Mount Vernon. I'm excited to see that game Saturday night as well with South Spencer hosting Mount Vernon.
Now, Steve, great information as usual. You know, if you want to know about Heritage Hills, if you want to know about South Spencer, all you've got to do is ask Steve Kolb. Steve, WAXL, where are you at this weekend?
Tonight, we've got the season opener. Weird to say that. The season opener for Heritage Hills as they host the North Posey. I'm not quite sure, but I think it may be the first conference game in boys' action in the season. That's at Lincoln City tonight at 7:30 Central Time. And then Saturday night, South Spencer hosts Mount Vernon. 7:30 starts down in Rio. So two good games on our broadcast schedule this week. And look forward to get back to call if Mother Nature will cooperate with us.
Well, Steve, thanks for joining us. And, you know, we hope to be talking to you real soon and give us some more updates on South Spencer and Heritage Hills. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Joe. Always enjoy it. You and Coach and all the listeners out there, have a safe and happy holidays. And, yeah, we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. After the break, we'll be touching on the Coach K mailbag. Got a lot of questions this week, so stay tuned. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth!
Now here is Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
Lots and lots of questions this week for the Coach K mailbag. Coach, are you ready to get started?
I am ready, Joe. I want to mention two things before you start. One, we've had some technical glitches. I don't know if it's blog talk. We've had a couple situations where we've lost a little bit of sound. I want to apologize to our listeners. But hang with us because it's temporary and it comes back in. And secondly, on a very somber note, one of our listeners tweeted in and wanted us to remind our listeners about the anniversary of the fatal plane crash of the University of Evansville basketball team the night it rained tears. And you know, I know you have an association with Marshall through your daughter at one time playing volleyball there, and obviously we have lots of friends connected to U of E, and I remember that well. I was a freshman in high school when the Aces plane crashed, killing basically the entire team and the staff. So, again, it's never forgotten. It's never easy. It's not an easy memory to talk about or discuss, but it's never forgotten. Go ahead, Joe. Let's do the mailbag.
Okay, Jerry from Jasper asks, do you like the new rules about the runner running over the catcher and the catcher blocking home plate?
You know, I'm probably going to make Jerry and a lot of people mad, but I do like the rule. I think that you can protect the plate without standing with your body straight up right in the middle of it and the player barreling down head first and creating this collision that, You know, somebody said, well, the only person that's ever really gotten hurt is Ray Fosse. I can't remember if that was Mike Golick or who said it. Obviously, he has not kept up on all the concussions catchers have experienced around the major leagues for years after plays at the plate. There are a lot of guys. I can think of the Reds young catcher a couple years ago, battled concussions, symptoms for literally weeks and weeks, and we know that it happens with a lot of catchers all over the league. I mean, let's talk about it a little bit, Joe. You're a baseball guy. You can't block all the other bases. I mean, why can't you straddle the plate from the left side or the right side or up top of it? And you can still get the tag, and the guy can still throw his leg in there to touch the base or touch the plate. Why's it got to be a head-on? I'm going to block the plate, you got to hit me head-on, and we got to see who holds on to the ball.
Well, I like the rule. I don't, you know, I think that it, you know, I know there's a lot of baseball purists out there. That's the way it's always been. But, you know, in this day and age of concussions and this kind of thing, I mean, you know, you're exactly right. Does the first baseman and the second baseman and the third baseman, do they have a chance of their career being altered with something that happens at a play at the plate? No, but the catcher's always had that dilemma. And, you know, and those, you know, Golick, I mean, you know, I guess maybe a football guy shouldn't talk about baseball. I don't know. But, you know, there are heaven injuries. And personally, between you and I like the rule.
Yeah, I know that Pete Rose commented about it, but I got to tell you, a lot of guys go through concussions, a lot of catchers, and it limits their time. And plus the runner, the million-dollar runner running home can end up – let's just talk about a first-base collision that really, literally, Joe, changed the career for a good friend of ours, and that's Scott Rowland running into the first baseman. I think it was Hee-Shop Choi, separated his shoulder, and it was never the same. He had some pretty good years, but he battled injury the rest of the way, and it's even worse when you go headfirst into the plate into a very – stocky, husky catcher, and yet with all the equipment, they end up with concussions. I like the rules. Sorry, baseball purists. Games change. Rules change. It's just part of the way it is.
Okay, from Josh in Bloomington. Well, I'm not sure what to expect from the IU-Notre Dame game. Maybe what we should expect, what should we expect from the IU-Notre Dame game? That's a question. That wasn't a statement. He wants to know what you think you should expect from the game.
I think that IU is going to win that basketball game if Evan Gordon can continue to play the way he played against Oakland. This IU basketball team is a lot better because it's got a little more perimeter play than just Yogi Ferrell right now. Hopefully, Will Sheehy can find his little niche and get it together mentally and physically. But in the end, we've got a pretty solid inside group. Noah Vonleh, he's as good as they get for a freshman in the college basketball world. Troy Williams, Yogi Ferrell. I don't think Notre Dame has what it's going to take to beat the Hoosiers, and I don't even know that it's going to be a good game. So I could be wrong, Josh. You can let me know next Friday.
I think it will be not a very good game either. I got a question about Notre Dame, though. I don't follow Notre Dame basketball that much. Did they lose a lot from last year, or why are they struggling?
Yeah, they lost some pretty solid players, and I don't think the guys that they brought in were able to fill any of the gaps that from what they lost. They lost some size. They lost some perimeter play. I think Coach Bray will get this team back to where they're competitive, but I'll tell you what, losing to North Dakota State, barely beating Bryant at home, I just don't see this Notre Dame team. If IU plays good basketball, they should be able to get a double-digit win here.
Okay, next question. This comes to us. I'm going to ask you the weekly Bots Magic, John Bodorf question. Coach K, with all the noise surrounding Nick Saban to Texas and the escalating costs of his services, why do you think that it's that Big Ten football programs, with the exception of Ohio State, are unwilling to spend top dollars to improve our reputation with the better conferences in the nation?
Hey, that's a great question, and it is about the money. And I think a lot of it's about institutions. Once one of these teams, Ohio State is paying good money, but I think the Big Ten feels like once it starts chasing coaches, the institutions no longer control the conference. The coaches do. The athletic departments do. And I think if one thing you can say about the Big Ten, both basketball and football, for the most part, the institutions have remained in control of their athletic programs. But to add a little bit to that, Texas, Nick Saban, great coach, builds programs, Michigan State, LSU, Alabama. Now, he went to good programs. Now, he didn't just go to rock-bottom programs. He went to good programs, and he stepped them up a level. But the interesting fact that our listeners may not know, Mack Brown at Texas is 60 years old. Nick Saban is 60 years old. One uses hair color a little better than the other. Both the same age. Long-term, short-term, both are great coaches. Long-term, both are great coaches. I think that Nick Saban, if you make $7 million or $10 million or $5 million, guys, at 60, 61, 63, you know, how much more is enticing? I think it's got to be, do I feel like there's more to do at Alabama, or would I like to run Texas back up the flagpole? You know, some of the critics this morning were talking about the fact that Mack Brown doesn't get the top quarterbacks. It wasn't that he didn't get the top quarterbacks. They would have gone to Texas. For whatever reason, coming out of high school, they didn't choose to offer some of those guys. Who knew that Jameis Winston was going to be the player he is? And honestly, Manziel, nobody had him that high up coming out. They had him high, but not that high, or Texas A&M wouldn't have got him. So to be more into Botts' question, I just think that the Big Ten, the institutional control of the Big Ten is still there and not the athletic department. Who knows? Why shouldn't Urban Meyer go to Texas if it opens up? What's Urban Meyer really going to prove at Ohio State? 24-1 over the last 2 years, didn't win a national title. Okay, he didn't. Go to Texas, win the national title. I could see Urban Meyer saying, goodbye, cold weather Columbus, I'm heading to Texas. But we'll see.
Okay, next question, and this one is from Josh and Jasper. Okay, think about the Patriots' chances of making the Super Bowl. With Gronk out for the season, it's obviously be tough, but the Broncos lost last night, so the number one seed appears to be a possibility if they can stop falling behind by double digits in the first half as they have the last three games. Josh from Jasper.
Well, I mentioned earlier in the show that unfortunately the Evil Empire was back in the hunt for home field advantage. And we'll see how they do against the Dolphins coming up. The Dolphins have lost to them seven straight times. I would not ever count them out. Do I think they can win the Super Bowl? No. Do I think they could get to the Super Bowl? Yes. Gronkowski is a huge loss, but can they limp their way into the playoffs and pull off a stunner here or there? I absolutely believe they can. And you know why? Here's why, Josh and Jasper. Because Brady's been there before. Because Belichick's been there before. Because they have some guys that have been there before. But Gronk is not the only injury issue. They've got other guys on that roster that you don't hear a lot about who are injured as well. But I want to count them out. My mind says they can't win it. Everything statistically tells me they can't win it. But you know what? They've been there before. And when you got your leader on the floor or on the field and your leader on the sideline still in place, you can't count them out.
Okay. You know, don't count out the Bengals either. They're only a game behind the Patriots. So the Patriots can slip up, you know. Don't count out the Cincinnati Bengals.
I agree with you, Joe. The only thing is, I think the Bengals are like the Broncos. The Broncos' defense is their own worst enemy, and maybe some of the ghosts of playoff pass for Peyton Manning. I think the Bengals are always their worst enemy. They always find a way to stub their toe for somebody to make just a really stupid play. The Bengals lose more times than they get beat, if you understand the difference. You can lose a game but because of how you play instead of getting beat by the other team. And you're a longtime Bengals fan, so you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. They've had a couple this year. I mean, if they don't screw up the opening game with a fumble when the game was won, and then also the Dolphins in overtime, which they should have won, they're sitting right there talking home field advantage right now instead of hoping to get back in the hunt. So I've only got one more question. This is from Anonymous. What are the chances you're coming to the Jasper game tonight?
That's probably from you, Joe.
Actually, it's not.
Celebration,
it's
I tell you what.
Me.
I'm watching the weather. I'm watching to see what happens with the weather. I've talked to my dad, obviously a former coach at Jasper as well, and we're about 60-40. We're about 60-40 on attending, but it'll be a lot of fun up there at the new arena. They play Evansville Memorial, and this is a great segue to talk just a little bit about that game. But Scott Rowland, we are told, will be there. Obviously, Scott played for me during his time at Jasper and was an Indiana All-Star. I talked with Farouk Mojazinovic, who also played for me for a couple years before I left the position, and he ended up an Indiana All-Star as well. He cannot make it, but he called me, and he told me to let everybody know in Jasper how much he appreciated his time there. And he's going to join us on the show after the first of the year to talk a little bit with Coach K. Michael Lewis, of course, will be there, a former Indiana All-Star. I think they'll have a couple other former Indiana All-Stars coming. I'm not sure if Mike Ballinger is going to be there. I think he said he didn't think he could make it. So, obviously, Mike, for me and you, I played with Mike Ballinger. So, having that connection, he also was an Indiana All-Star. You know, Joe, I've had a lot of connections with Indiana All-Stars, but I wasn't one.
No, you weren't, but you got to coach a couple and you got to play with one. So now, the thing I got to tell you, though, the event, you know, the game is great. The arena is unbelievable. You know, we broke out the video board for the volleyball team. We had an intro video, and there's going to be a video before the game tonight of 100 years of Jasper basketball. It's I put it together, so I'm not saying it's awesome because of that. Because I was just the technician that put the stuff together the way they wanted it. But you come to realize just how much history there is there. And I'll tell you what, get there early, go up in the cafeteria. There's going to be stuff there. There's going to be a TV with the 1993 sectional game against Forest Park. I know we lost, but that was Scott Rowland, the best individual performance I've ever seen. There's going to be a TV with the 1996 fourth quarter of Michael Lewis and Matt Mock leading us to a regional championship down 9 where we coach in that quarter, something like that. Came back and won, and
and Jack Butcher and put on the full court press, and things just went our way.
Yeah, and then you've got the 1949. If you want to see it, the state championship game, go up to the cafeteria. There's going to be we've got the game on video. And you're going to be able to watch it. And, you know, Slick Weber, Rick Begley, Coach Gable, Terry Tucker, all those guys, Bernie Vogler, they've done a great job, and it's going to be well worth how much does it cost to get into a high school basketball game, $5? it's going to be worth well more than that, which I'll segue into the fact that, $5 for any high school basketball game, I think, is a pretty dang good deal.
And we can't we can't not mention the contribution you made, and you made a great contribution in putting the video together and gathering some of the other video pieces for them as well. The other thing, Joe, is there's a game as well that tonight Jasper will be playing Evansville Memorial, and Evansville Memorial is a pretty solid team. Evansville Memorial, coached by longtime coach Rick Wilgus, they have a pretty nice team. They have a kid, Walker, at guard. He's been starting for Memorial since he was a freshman. He's an outstanding player, a senior. They've got Eberhard, a young inside-outside type of a 3-4 player, can score, can jump, good athlete, good body. They've got a nice team that they'll be bringing in to Jasper. The bad thing for both teams is it's been a while since any of them have played. The weather in southern Indiana, really in the Midwest, has been snowy, icy, cold, and it's caused a lot of cancellation of basketball games these last couple weeks. Tonight will be a big opportunity for these teams to get back on the court, get some playing time, get some of the kinks out of them. So maybe at first the game will not be real smooth, but I think as the game goes on, you're going to have two pretty good teams out there. Jasper, of course, started the season off with a loss to then-ranked number two in the state, Evansville-Harrison. They have dropped a game since then and won a game. There are a number of other high school games, and since we're on the theme of high school games, I might as well mention some of the different games going on this weekend around southern Indiana. Friday games, Wrights at Mater Dei, Cannelton at North, not a whole lot to that. Cannelton's about a school of 80, playing Evansville North, a school of 1,500. Not a good scheduling decision either way. Harrison at Castle, Memorial, of course, at Jasper. Bossy plays at Princeton, Central at Gibson Southern. A number of other games going on. Lagodi at Forest Park. That should be a good game. Northeast Dubois, who played the other night, they'll play Orleans. Orleans is ranked in their class. Barrie, number one in their class, takes on Tecumseh. Tell City at Southridge. North Posey at Heritage Hills. We just heard a little bit about Heritage Hills. So there'll be a number of games on Friday night and as well on Saturday. I might also mention, if you want to just see a really good basketball player, and it's girls basketball, but this Tyra Buss out of Mount Carmel, Illinois, she can flat play. I think she's averaging a little over 40 points a game. If you're anywhere near Mount Carmel, Illinois, or anywhere near where Mount Carmel High School is playing a girls' game, stop in and watch her play. She really can play. She can score, and it's always neat. It's always fun to see somebody with those kind of skills who can put the ball in the basket. Mater Dei's girls basketball team has a couple of different players like that as well. Joe, I just got a tweet. They want to know, will the video be made available to view online for those who cannot attend the 100-year celebration at Jasper High School?
There will be two places to find it. You can go to the Jasper Athletic at Jasper High School website. Go to the athletic portion of the website. I think it's going to be on there. I think Andy Noblet asked me for a copy so he can get it on there. And then also Monday, the new Jasper Today, my online magazine comes out, and I always put a YouTube video of the month on there. And of course, there's no better fitting video than this video, just for the fact that, not because I put it together, but because of the story it tells. I mean, you know, it's 10 minutes long, but I'll tell you what, it feels about 2 minutes long because, you know, we go through the older pictures, and then all of a sudden we get to some of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and, you know, into the 21st century, and we've actually got audio and video. And, you know, hearing someone like Bob Simmers call the end of a game, I mean, you know, he was something special. And, you know, you've got Kurt Guxell, you've got Brent Weibel. You get to hear all these voices, Walt Ferber. You get to hear all these guys that you know that are around here that, you know, maybe we take for granted, you know, that are they're, you know, tops in their field, and they just add to the video. You know, I mean, get goosebumps listening to it, just watching it, just because the greats, you know, I have watched, I think when I put this video together, I think I watched the celebration from the 1996 regional about 50 times. I mean, it wasn't just kids running out there, students, the adults that, I mean, it was just a stream. I'd love to know how long it took for that court to be full of people. It wasn't very long. Of course, you probably don't remember you're playing a haze.
I was coaching, so it was seconds. And the great thing I remember about that game and different sectionals that I was a part of as a player that we won in 81 and then coached in 95 and 96 was that's what has always been important to me, is allowing the community to celebrate something as a whole. And that's what basketball, as I remember coaching at Jasper and at Washington Catholic, was like. When we won those tournaments, the entire community, they weren't just welcomed onto the floor. They weren't just wanted onto the floor. They wanted to be a part of it. They came onto the floor. And if you see the picture from 81, cutting down the nets at Southridge, if you see the picture from 95 at Southridge, 96 at Washington, you do see people from 80 years old to 8 years old on that floor celebrating, getting a feel, feeling every emotion as those young men walked up that ladder. The only thing I wish I could have been able to do is provide enough nets for every person who celebrated that night to walk up and cut a piece of the net down, because it's an absolutely amazing experience. I got to experience it with my son Josh and daughter Paige and obviously my wife. But for 40 years, my family, from my dad starting out as an assistant coach to head coach to my brothers and myself playing basketball, to me coaching, 40 years, Schulteises were involved in Jasper basketball. So a big part of that, and had I not, you know, left the job, and I never should have, it would have been over 50 years. So we would have been in there more, over half the time that Jasper basketball has been around. One thing I would love to do, Joe, since you have access, be great if we could, on some of those highlight moments, add some interview audio where before, as you're showing some of the highlights, maybe Scott Rowland, Michael Lewis, Adam Offert, Matt Mauch, Ken Schulteis, whoever can give some commentary to what was going on at that point or how they felt at that point or how they feel to this day. I think it would be a great historical document, audio and video, to have for the next 100 years when they celebrate 200 years of Jasper basketball.
You're exactly right. I'll tell you what, I have full confidence Slick Weber is already organizing the 200th year anniversary. And I'll tell you what, Slick, if you want to see someone, I mean, I've always thought the Schulteises had unbelievable passion for Jasper basketball, but, you know, Slick's right up there with you guys. I mean, it's just been it's been great. And I tell you what, I've got a text here I've got to pull up, and I want to read real quick. Okay, Coach, here's a question just texted in to me. What's it going to take for Jasper basketball to get back to the level they were at back in the 70s and where they were winning constantly?
It's a tough question. I don't agree that it was just in the 70s. I was there in the 70s. I was there in the 80s. Part of the 80s, and I was there in the 90s. And I can tell you that Jasper basketball has won in every generation. Now, we won five sectionals in the 70s. We won five in a row, and that's why it stands out so much. But we also lost some sectionals during the 70s that one could say we should have won, and we also had a couple of years that weren't stellar. The 80s, we had some good years. Towards the end of the 80s, we struggled a bit. The 90s, I know from the time I was there, we were pretty darn good. We averaged 16 wins a year. We were ranked in the top 20 in one class. Five of the 7 years I was there, maybe six at one point or another, won a couple sectionals. I would have liked to won at least one more, won a regional, won 20 games back-to-back. went into the 2000s, had some solid years. I think the consistency part may be what we're all pushing for. But it takes a lot of hard work. When you put on that uniform, you got to be willing to work at it all year round, and that doesn't mean you don't play other sports, because I know some of my best players played multiple sports. But it can be done. It should be done. And hopefully the coaching staff there now will be able to find some ways to make that happen. But regardless, it's a celebration of the last 100 years.
Okay, Coach, you know, another great show. We're going to be going off the live broadcast here in just a few seconds, but wanted to tell you, great show, and, you know, and I know you and your family, you know, just as you said, how many years the Schulteis family's been involved with Jasper basketball, and I do know when you think of Jasper basketball, a lot of people have to think of the name Schulteis, you know, when they think of it, because, you know, as you know, your dad, Jim, you, Don, John, I mean, you know, you're all a part of championships, and you're also, as I've said before, you're the only person that can claim the title. You won a sectional both as a coach and as a player.
Well, as we go off live and we go to podcast, I want to tell our listeners, come back and listen to us if we haven't left yet. I want to talk a little bit after the live portion of the show about the Mack Brown situation at Texas. So join us, come back on the podcast and talk to us. Joe, do we need to go to break, or can we just continue going through past the live moment?
I've got all our breaks done. Let's just go.
I may have lost Joe. Joe, are you still there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm there. Are you here? Hello?
Yeah, I just wanted to take a few minutes. I know we're into the podcast portion. For those joining us on podcast who have come over from the live show, I want to take a few minutes, Joe, and I want to talk about Mack Brown a little bit in Texas. You can join in the discussion, obviously. I think what's going on in Texas is it's a sham. But it is where we're at today in college athletics. Obviously, even as much money as there is in pro sports, there is that much money in college athletics. The thing that shocks me about Texas is Texas has always been a state that's been very loyal, very independent of what's going on around the rest of the nation. And they usually are very loyal to their coaches, to their teams, and to their players. In 16 years, Mack Brown has won 158 games, number of conference titles, been to 10 bowls or more, or 10 bowl wins maybe. He's had a couple of years that were struggles, but if you take out the start of this season, he ended up with a pretty darn good year, and he's got some key people coming back for him next year. Nick Saban, how many more years does he have in him? I don't know. But I just am disappointed with college athletics right now. I'm very disappointed with Texas, because I thought the state of Texas was different when it comes to that. But I think there are so many big money alumni who are involved now, who didn't play the sport, who doesn't know what it's like to coach, and they don't understand loyalty, they don't understand commitment, they don't understand standing by people. It's just a messy situation in Texas, and I don't see how it ends well.
Yeah, you know, the days of loyalty are over. It's win instantly. I mean, used to be a coach would get 4 years, you know, they always 4 or 5 years. Everyone always said, let him get all his own players in. Well, now it's a situation where, like, you know, Daryl Hazel, you know, didn't have the greatest year. There are people already talking, you know, which produced too cheap to do, so I don't have to worry about it. But he has another year or two left. And, you know, I mean, what do people think? I mean, you know, I don't want to get into the Michigans where a person only gets 2 years to try to turn something around. You know, you've got to show some loyalty. I mean, you know, I know people weren't happy about Gene Katie towards the end, but you know what? I wanted Gene Katie to leave on Gene Katie's terms. I wanted Joe Tiller to leave on Joe Tiller's terms, you know, for what they did for the university. You know, I didn't want to just all of a sudden, okay, you're unusable anymore here, go away. And you're exactly right. There are too many people, you know, they got the money, but don't know what it takes to actually play the sport that are, you know, dictating because, you know, it's a money game. You know, it truly is. And it's a shame some of these people have more power than what they should have.
You know, I'm not saying that Mac Brown couldn't walk away. He's had a distinguished career, but he is only 60. He's very capable of going longer. Nick Saban's 60. He did end up with 8 wins, I think 4 losses, something like that. He's playing in a pretty solid bowl. He had a chance if he beats Baylor in that final game, they win the Big 12 Conference. I mean, he actually was playing for the Big 12 Conference. So I guess I don't understand where you don't give him at least, you know, hey, Mac, we got to really see something in the next couple years or we need to wrap it up. And, you know, Dan Patrick on his sports show the other day was talking about how this was very quiet. Mac Brown probably was mulling over what his future was going to be. The university was probably waiting for him. And then he said, because of good reporting, this was leaked out that the discussion of his job future was on the line. That's not good reporting. That's crap. That's yellow journalism. They reported something that they have no facts on. They reported something, and Dan Patrick didn't do it. Someone else did. He was just talking about it. They reported something that no facts and no source was given for. And so all of a sudden, what happens? Every sports media outlet takes it up nationally. And sports isn't like it used to be, Joe. Everything is now in the minute, and it's national. And all of a sudden, Mac Brown is stuck in the middle of what should have been a private discussion between him and the university's president. Instead, now everybody's backtracking. The president's got pressure on him. Mac Brown's got pressure on him. Recruits are saying, is he going to be here? Is he not? Returning players are saying, man, what's going on? I mean, I thought the biggest thing was everybody out of UT said, out of Texas said, he never lost the locker room. And he didn't. Because, Joe, if you remember, they started like 0-3, 0-4, 1-4, something like that, 1-3. He never lost the locker room. He made a change in the defensive coordinator, and Texas got back to where they were pretty good. They beat Oklahoma. I don't like this part about what we do on Fridays. I don't like this part about something that I love, coaching. I don't like this part about something that I believe teaches great, great lessons in life, sports and athletics. I don't like this part. It's the Wall Street mentality. I don't like it leaking in to something that it doesn't have to be this bottom-lined. Mac Brown, at 8-4, he wasn't 4-8. He didn't have 3 straight losing seasons. He didn't beat up players. He didn't get caught having sex in a restaurant at a table with some gal. None of those things happened. Why can't the University of Texas say we will not be pressured by the national media, Mac Brown, what do you want to do? And say, okay, you're going to be under the same microscope that any other coach would be. 3 years, let's see what you look like, and we'll let you know in 2, like any other coach would be. At least give him the opportunity to what I believe is going to be a solid year next year and in years going forward. I just don't like this, Joe. I don't like what goes on in the national media.
Yeah, that's the era we live in. You know, instant information. The word spreads a lot sooner. It's not like it's just the locals, Austin, Texas, TV stations covering this. You know, it's on ESPN. It's on Dan Patrick. I'm sure Golic and his hack partner touched upon it. That's just how it is. I mean, that's how it is with the recruiting game. You know, it's gotten crazy with that. And the media has a lot more power than they ever have. You know, not only in sports, but I know we're not allowed to talk politics on here, but also politics.
Yeah, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And I don't have to like it because it's the Coach K and Joe show, and I don't have to like it. Next week, if you are joining us on podcast, next week we'll be talking with our MLB contributor about the winter meetings. Jeff Cochran will be on to give us a wrap-up on what happened at the winter meetings and what might possibly be out there. Obviously, we'll have a national guest as well, and our contributors will do some local Southern Indiana area coaches as well. You know, two things we never got to, Joe. We never talked about Shanahan and the circus that is RG3, the three-ring circus that is RG3, and we never got to talk about what could end up being a dagger once again for the Chicago Bears, where something internally implodes. If you're a Bears fan, you've seen it for years. Implosion from within. We've got Cutler and McNown. Who should be quarterback? Who shouldn't? Is it Cutler's team? Did his backup earn the right to keep playing? How did that first year head coach handle it? Yeah, that'll be a discussion that I'm sure you and I we'll be talking about next week after we see how things work this weekend.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Not quite sure about just saying, okay, we're done, so you don't have to play anymore. Not sure, not quite. I guess my question is RG3 hurt still?
He's not been the same quarterback all year, and I think, honestly, I think Mike Shanahan should have done this 3 weeks ago when they still had a chance to make the playoffs, because RG3 has not looked good. He doesn't look confident. His team has not rallied around him, and maybe it would have just been better to say, we brought this guy back too soon, we need to give him a break, and went with Kirk Cousins. Either way, you win or you lose, you save RG3 to at least get 100% healthy, because mentally he's taking a beating. You know, you think about him, second-year quarterback. You think about Andrew Luck, second-year quarterback. Andrew Luck started off pretty strong, but he has struggled the last, I guess, seven games, and he really has. Folks, you can get mad at me. That's okay. I got big shoulders, and I put some on Joe when I need to. Andrew Luck has struggled for the Colts. The whole Colts team has struggled, and everybody who jumped up and down and screamed, we got Richardson, we got Richardson, he is exactly what Coach K said he was. He's not the answer to the running game. The only second-year quarterback, at least this year, that has been phenomenal, Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson, absolutely great.